الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. Praise be to Allah alone. We praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can show him guidance. May the best peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Dear Muslim viewers everywhere, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to a new and to the last episode of your program Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, right prior to the sacred journey of Hajj. May Allah the Almighty make it a safe and an accepted journey from the pilgrims. Ameen. We spoke about the pillars of both the Umrah and the Hajj. We said with regards to the Umrah, its pillars are number one, assuming the intention of Ihram from the appointed Miqat, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and one can perform Umrah at any say time all year round. But for Hajj, there is a specific time. Allah the Almighty said, Al-Hajj ashhurum ma'lumat, and one in order to assume the intention of Hajj, it will be on the 8th day of the month of Dhul Hijjah. This day, brothers and sisters, is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah. And the scholars tried to find out why was it called that name, and they returned it to its linguistic origin, which is al-Tarwiyah is either from a riwayah, which is a narration, whereupon the imam or the scholars would narrate to the pilgrims what they need to do with regards to the Hajj rites, or maybe it is taken from a riwayah by watering or giving the water to the pilgrims. So either way, on the 8th day of the month of Dhul Hijjah, which is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the pilgrims would assume a new intention of performing Hajj. That's for those who are either performing Hajj al-Ifrad or Hajj al-Tamattu. But for those who have already assumed an intention of performing both Umrah and Hajj within the same intention of Ihram, they are already in a state of Ihram, so they don't need to renew their Ihram or assume a new intention of Ihram because they are already in it. We spoke about the second pillar, which is At-Tawaf. And we said At-Tawaf seven rounds around the Kaaba, counterclockwise, beginning with the black stone corner and ending up at the same place. We spoke about the commended acts of the Tawaf. And today, inshallah, I'll begin by saying that there are some common errors and mistakes that the brothers and sisters who are performing Hajj may fall in, such as forgetting or neglecting taking a bath prior to performing Tawaf. Many people assume that if I'm in Ihram, I cannot take a bath. And we say that's not true. It is recommended one should take a bath prior to entering Mecca. Not only before Ihram, but also while you are in a state of Ihram prior to entering Mecca and prior to performing the Tawaf and upon going to the Valley of Arafah on the day of Arafah. Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, used to do that, and we all know that. This great companion was one of the companions who resembled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his actions most. Then other errors that when some people are being very keen not to miss the beginning point, they may begin the Tawaf a few steps earlier than the black stone corner. This is an extra thing which would not be accepted. You should make your best to begin from the black stone corner or parallel to it, and not before nor after. If you begin before, that's an innovation. If you begin after, the whole round would not count, even if it is missing just one footstep. A very common error that unfortunately it does not only hurt those who are falling or committing this error, but other pilgrims as well, which is brothers and sisters. How many of us have performed Umrah or Hajj or just merely performing Tawaf, and we hear a lot of noise. People are making invocations and reciting supplications in congregations. Somebody is reading from a notepad and people are repeating after him. It is disturbing everybody that if I want to make dua on my own, if I want to recite the Quran, if I want to say whatever adhkar I have, we have already agreed that there is no specific nor prescribed dhikr for each round. It's totally an innovation. The only prescribed dhikr is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite in between al-Rukn al-Yamani and the black stone corner. What he used to say, peace be upon him, ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Besides that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite any adhkar, so there is no specific dhikr for each round. Other common error that when we see our brothers and sisters out of love to the Kaaba and to the holy places, they wipe their faces, their bodies, their ihram against the Kaaba walls, against every pole they meet. And this is not just a simple error. This is a violation could reach to the level of committing shirk, because wiping or seeking the blessings should be only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only corner which you are allowed to touch and kiss is the black stone corner. And then Ar-Ruknul Yamani, simply by mere touching. If you cannot touch it, then you skip it and you go by on your way. What happens if somebody, while performing tawaf, due to the crowd and due to the loud voices, he or she forgot how many rounds they have made? We say that a tawaf, 7 rounds, counterclockwise around the Kaaba. So what happens if you think that maybe this is the 7th, or maybe this is only the 6th, or you and your company or your partner are performing tawaf and you dispute it. You are sure that this is the 7th, and your partner said, no, this is the 6th, I counted to. In this condition, in case of having doubt, I'm not sure whether I have performed tawaf more or less, you should only consider the lesser. So if I'm having a doubt whether I performed 7 rounds or 6 rounds, you should consider that you have performed 6, and accordingly you need to make up 1 more. Even if it is extra, as long as you are in doubt, I'm not talking about you're certain that you made 7 and you're still making 1 extra, that's not accepted, and this is a form of innovation. No one can offer an extra rak'ah just for the sake of it. It has to be in line with the prophetic teachings and commands. A tawaf, 7 rounds, a sa'i, 7 rounds, and throwing the stones, 7 stones, and whatever I said in case of forgetting how many rounds you made in tawaf applies to a sa'i, applies to throwing the stones on the Eid day and on the following days, whether throwing Jamratul Aqabatil Kubra or Al-Wusta or Al-Sughra, in case that you forget how many you threw, how many sa'i, how many trips, how many tawaf, you should consider the lesser and make up the rest until you meet the exact number. Now, with the third pillar of Umrah, and also the third pillar of Hajj, which is As-Sa'i. Allah the Almighty said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, I believe in verse 165, He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما ومن تطوع خيرا فإن الله شاكر عليم. This beautiful verse stated that both al-Safa wal-Marwa, these two hills around the Kaaba, are both of the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it signify, both al-Safa wal-Marwa? You know, brothers and sisters, upon al-Safa, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared first, for the very first time in his life, his prophethood. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him in the Quran by saying, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, warn your relatives, your close family members. So he climbed As-Safa, the small hill of As-Safa. Then he called on the tribe of Quraysh and different clans, called on all of them. And when they assembled, he asked them a very important question in the beginning. Have you ever tried me as a liar? They all confirmed, no, never. You are As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the truthful, the trustworthy. He said, well, I want to tell you something, that I am a prophet of God. He has sent me to you to warn you and to give you the glad tidings, etc. The story. Guess what? His own uncle, Abu Lahab, ridiculed him and insulted him and cursed him. And he said to him, Muhammad, you just gathered us for this reason. May you perish, O Muhammad, and may your hand perish. So Allah the Almighty defended his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and replied to Abu Lahab by saying, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. It is not Muhammad's hand who may be perished, it is you, your hand and yourself and your wife, you will perish. And it is amazing on the same spot where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was denied and belied, and his message was rejected by his close family members, by his own uncle and his family. On the same spot, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Umrah al-Qadha and in Hajjat al-Wada', he climbed as-Safa and he faces the Kaaba and he says, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Then he says thrice, لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وأعز جنده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. After declaring the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the main concept of tawheed, the main concept of hajj, the main concept of every act of worship is to testify to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While performing tawaf, Allahu Akbar, you magnify Him and you glorify Him. While climbing as-Safa in order to begin as-Sa'y, you face the Kaaba and you say, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, you magnify Allah and you testify to His oneness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declares that it is indeed Allah who fulfilled His covenant, who supported His servant, who made His soldiers victorious, and he gave them victory. لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وأعز جنده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. And he defeated the confederates all by himself. This later dua, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite it thrice when he climbs at as-Safa, and in between he would make whatever dhikr or dua other than that. Then he would go on his way down all the way to al-Marwa. The trip from as-Safa to al-Marwa counts as one trip. Then when he climbed al-Marwa, once again he faced the Kaaba and he said the same. Then he did not say the ayah. The ayah, verse 165 of Surah Al-Baqarah, is only to be recited in the very beginning. This is the traditions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we're not supposed to do anything extra because we assume it is good or maybe it is useful, etc. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed upon as-Safa at first and he said, I begin with whatever Allah the Almighty began with. Then he recited the ayah. Allah the Almighty began with in verse number 165 of Surah Al-Baqarah by as-Safa. And that's why you must begin as-Sa'i in between by as-Safa. Then you go on your way, and on the way you will notice that there is there are two green markers. Those two green lights, brothers and sisters, signify a very important thing. If you remember when Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, deposited his only son, Ismail alayhi salam, and his mother Hajar in this deserted place without any provision but just a little bit. All the water that she had vanished, and she could not breastfeed Ismail alayhi salam. So she started looking for any source of provision. She started the jogging in between the two hills of as-Safa wal-Marwa. And once she came to this area, which is now highlighted with the two green markers, where she could not lay her eye physically on Ismail, she would jog or rush in order to pass it quickly. So imagine every single believer have to follow the footsteps of Hajar, peace be upon her, even when she was jogging. But brothers and sisters, this tradition is only limited to men. Women are not allowed to walk briskly nor jog. Even if you have your spouse with you, men would jog, then they would wait at the later line for their spouses to join them. Sisters, whatever we see that some of the ladies are racing in between the two green markers, this is totally wrong. A woman should cover herself properly, and that is the purpose of hijab. Whatever we said with regards to at-tawaf, we're going to repeat some of it here in the case of as-sa'i. There is no specific supplication for each round. So those parties and groups, especially non-Arab, who would walk behind somebody who's making up invocations or reading from a book, sometimes making severe and fatal errors instead of praying for himself and his followers, he may end up praying against himself and the followers would just repeat blindly, unknowingly, without knowing the meaning of what he recites. So what shall we do? There are so many things that you can do. Talk to Allah by your heart, in your own language, in Urdu, in English, in French. You don't have to speak this dhikr in Arabic. You don't have to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Arabic. Only the prescribed adhkar, the Quranic verses, if there is a specific dua, if you can memorize it in Arabic, then say it. Otherwise, you need to feel it. Once, when I was so tired and exhausted while I was performing sa'i, all of a sudden I remember that, hey, wait a minute, I'm walking here on the marble and the air condition is surrounding me from every direction. In addition to, there is Zamzam water right and left, and I'm having a big company, and I know that after 7 rounds I'll be done, then I will shave or trim and my Umrah is over. While Hajar, peace be upon her, was jogging back and forth. Yes, she had certainty, but she did not know for how many rounds she had to run and looking for any provision. She was walking and running on stones and pebbles. There was no shelter. There was no air condition. There was no marble. So when I compare myself and the fun which I'm having to the situation of Hajar, the strong believer, peace be upon her, I undermine myself and I realize that Hajj is all about submission, humility. That some people keep asking question, what is the benefit of tawaf? You have to give me a wisdom. Why do I have to do sa'i 7 times? Even though I mentioned a few reasons right now, but even if there is no reference, if there is no wisdom behind it other than compliance, you need to remember one thing. When Ibrahim alayhi salam left Hajar and Ismail alone there, Hajar said, "Oh Ibrahim, are you leaving us here alone?" He did not answer. Is anybody going to look after us? Not a word. He just turned around, he made a U-turn, and he kept walking. Then she cried out loud and said, "Ya Ibrahim, Allahu amaraka bihada? Did Allah order you to leave us here alone?" The only answer he answered was, "Certainly. I'm not doing this because I desire it. I'm only doing that because Allah commanded me." And look at the beautiful reply of Hajar, peace be upon her, being left alone with her little baby in the middle of nowhere. There is no signs of life whatsoever. She says, "Then if this is the case, by Allah, we will never get lost." She's teaching us a wonderful lesson of the true tawakkul and yaqeen, certainty, and putting your trust only in Allah the Almighty. Now when you go to Al-Marwa and you return back, this round trip counts as two, and another round trip, that's two, and another round trip, that's two. So we're talking about 6 trips. Then when you go back one way to Al-Marwa, that is the 7th time. I'm making it very easy and in plain English because I have seen some people burdening themselves and they make the sa'i 14 rounds because they count round trip as one. No, round trip counts as two. So from As-Safa to Al-Marwa, that's one shout or trip. From Al-Marwa to As-Safa, and you recite the adhkar on each hill facing the Kaaba as we discussed, except for the verse 165 of Surah Al-Baqarah will be recited only once in the very beginning of sa'i. There is no specific adhkar to be recited in congregation. The sisters should not jog, nor should they run, because it is not befitting them and it is not proper. There is another very interesting thing. Whenever I see somebody performing sa'i and he is uncovering his right shoulder, I realize this innocent person, this poor person, is not knowledgeable, did not study what Hajj is, does not know the rest of the manasik, and this is a calamity. Because if he doesn't know that, then what about the rest of the major things? We said uncovering the right shoulder is only prescribed in tawaf al-qudum, tawaf al-umrah, in the very arrival tawaf, and that's it. After that, in any tawaf, in any sa'i, even in the sa'i of the umrah, while praying the sunan or the nawafil or the fard, you must cover both shoulders with your rida. So I hope that the brothers and sisters who are planning to perform Hajj this year or Umrah later on would pay close attention to that. You will see a magnitude of men who are performing sa'i while showing the right shoulder. So it is very important to understand that one of the important acts of Hajj is to enjoin what's right and forbid what's evil. So when you see somebody, if you see a lady who's showing her hair, for instance, or wearing a long, a short dress, or revealing clothes, so one of the sisters should address and say, "Sister, you're performing Hajj. Have you ever seen ladies who are performing Hajj and in a state of tawaf and wearing makeup?" Yes, unfortunately, there are some traditions. They think that this is a holiday. This is like a picnic day that we should adorn ourselves. Please, you have to understand and you have to advise others that the sisters should leave their hotel rooms tafilat, subordinary, wearing spacious loose clothes, covering their entire body with the exception of the hands and the face. As we said before, it is the ihram in the hands and the face, not wearing any fragrance or any form of makeup whatsoever or even attraction, because that could ruin your Hajj and Hajj of others who may look at you with a desire or whatever. Now, after performing sa'i, we talked about ihram, tawaf, and sa'i with the third pillar of the umrah. Maybe you perform in hajj al-tamattu'. So once you're done with the sa'i, now you're ready to undo your ihram. How to undo your ihram? We see people surrounding barrels at al-marwa and having scissors and cutting their hair right and left. And also ladies, that's not befitting. Brothers and sisters, this is al-masjid al-haram. Can you imagine that people cutting their hair in the holy mosque and walking with their feet inside and back forth, back and forth? No. So please, we gotta pay attention to that. You go outside your hotel room to the barber shop, trim your hair, and that will be sufficient, inshallah. And after that, you're done with the umrah. Unfortunately, we have to leave you right there, and perhaps we'll meet after Hajj inshallah with a new program. But right now, all of us, we have an appointment to watch a very interesting program live from the Holy Mosque, the Kaaba al-Musharrafah, the Noble Kaaba, the procedures and the ceremony of washing the Kaaba. So let's take all of you and us there and watch the washing of the Kaaba. Brothers and sisters, I conclude by saying, may Allah the Almighty forgive us our sins and grant us mercy and grant us an accepted Hajj. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفُرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ and see you later. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.